Well, as we heard a little earlier, a major political shift has occurred. Iran will now attend the new round of international talks on the war in Syria. Iran's Foreign Minister, Javad Zarif, will join the talks in Vienna later today, along with envoys from the US, Russia, Saudi Arabia and Turkey, trying to find a political roadmap to end the Syrian civil war. This latest round of negotiations comes as the US says it's considering escalating its military campaign against ISIS in both Iraq and Syria. Daniel Serwa is a senior scholar at the Middle East Institute in Washington, D.C., and a professor of conflict management at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies. He's led many peace-building missions in Iraq, Afghanistan, Sudan, and Bosnia. He joins us from Washington, D.C. Daniel Serwa, good morning. Welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning.
How significant is it that Iran has been invited to these talks and that it has now said yes, it accepts it will be there?
I think it is significant. There's no solution, there's no political negotiated solution to this conflict without Iran. But that doesn't mean that there is one with Iran. It's not going to be easy to get them to meet reasonable conditions that the U.S. and others will want.
What do you mean when you say reasonable conditions?
Well, the U.S. and Europe, I assume Australia as well, will want a serious democratic transition in Syria, and that means establishing a regime in Syria in which the population will decide who governs them. And that, for Iran, is going to be a population that is majority Sunni and that has suffered a great deal from the Iranian intervention in Syria.
So what we've had up until now, Russia and Iran backing the Assad forces on the ground and saying Damascus must be helped to defeat terrorism and that the Assad regime must be left in place to do that. We've had the Americans saying no solution with Assad in place. They've now changed that language, basically saying perhaps a solution will start with Assad still in power, but it can't end with him in power. And overnight we have the French saying that a precise timetable for Assad's departure needs to be part of any solution. So we're not really any closer to knowing how much common ground there is in that. It all parties around this table now, including Russia and Iran, agree Assad needs to be in there at the start of a diplomatic solution, but then the agreement, we don't know how far that reaches.
I think that's right. I think what you're seeing is that all sides now seem to be coming around to the point of view that continued fighting won't get them anything, but they do not yet see an acceptable way out of the fighting.
The fact that Russia and Iran have agreed to come around the table, and there was no guarantee that the Iranians would agree because, in fact, the Ayatollah, Ali Khamenei, had banned Iranian officials from holding discussions with America beyond the nuclear, the atomic energy discussions. But here they are. But the fact that they are here looking at talking about a diplomatic solution, that coincides with a greater investment of Iranian troops and Russian, in fact, forces on the ground in Syria. So why do you think that they're progressing both these avenues, military and diplomatic, at the same time, so full-bloodedly?
Well, because that's the right way to negotiate, and we're doing the same thing. The American assistance to the Syrian opposition has been markedly increased in recent weeks. They're getting a lot more ammunition. They're getting anti-tank missiles. And both sides are escalating at this point. And that's what you see happening as negotiations approach, because each side is trying to gain advantage. My sense, though, is that the Russians, at least, do not want this to continue, that they are losing too much in the way of both blood and treasure in Syria, and are afraid of the quagmire that President Obama says that they are getting themselves into. Iran is a little bit different. It's very hard to picture how Iranian interests in Syria can be protected without Bashar al-Assad in power. It's I'm not seeing how that how they can be convinced that they would be better off without Bashar al-Assad than with him. But it's worth a try. We need to have them at the table if there is to be a political solution. And, you know, if we discover on Friday that there really isn't to be a political solution, well, that has implications as well.
Well, the Saudis can't see a way either that the Iranians will come to that conclusion, but they say we'll know one way or the other after this meeting if they're serious or not. Just finally, Daniel, what would a political transition look like then in Syria, do you think?
Well, I think it would look very much like the Geneva communique of 2012, which the UN had negotiated. You have to form some kind of national unity government that is fully empowered and that is acceptable to both to the Syrian state and to the rebels, and to a very wide spectrum of the rebels, because you don't want to have many of them continuing to fight. That looks very difficult to achieve at the moment, that kind of unity government without Assad. It's hard for me to picture that he could be left in place if, in fact, he had to delegate his full powers to a national unity government. He wouldn't be safe to remain in Syria. So I'm not seeing it yet.
Okay.
But,
well,
but that's okay. Let them try on Friday.
Let them try on Friday. Daniel Sewer, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Daniel Sewer is a senior scholar at the Middle East Institute in Washington, D.C., and a professor of conflict management, very experienced in real conflict management, too. He's currently at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies.